So we have the live feed going right now.
Practice makes perfect.
So we got the live feed going right now, and Crystal says she can hear us.
Hi, Crystal.
And Donna Sweet is on the call. Donna Sweet. And then we also have Julie White.
Hey, Julie.
Tristan. Melissa.
Nice to meet you guys.
How are you?
Nice to see you guys this morning.
Take that, Thomas. You don't think you can do it.
So, say something to your sister, honey.
Say something to Donna.
Yeah.
Hi, Donna. Say hi to everybody out in Freya.
So, could someone pretend that they're preaching so we could check that sound as well, or not really?
Who's preaching today? Is it Ken?
Ken is. But I'll read you a scripture. See if this works.
Patricia Young is on the call.
Who is?
Patricia. Patricia Young from Ephrata.
Oh, Ephrata. Hey. That's the Fruitful Valley. That's in New York State. That's where I grew up. Very, very little town. They still haven't got a stoplight, but but still, praise the Lord, God is moving in Ephrata. From my heart, too. Sorry. Can you hear that?
Ken's got this working.
Maybe.
So did that work? We're going to try this one.
So far,
technology is not our friend. Hi, guys. You're back with children.
Yes. Yeah, good to see you guys again.
Hi, guys.
Scouting through today, but glad to have you.
Yes.
Okay, so Crystal can hear us giggling.
Hi, Crystal. That's coming in pretty
good. Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm hoping they can hear people talking. That's what happened last time. Can hear?
Not all of her senses are gone.
This is a good week for anybody that did get sick to learn to eat jalapenos and habanero peppers, because
you can't taste them anyway.
You can taste them. You might have to try something strawberry.
All right.
But, Josh.
Hey, guys. Hi, James.
So it's 10 o'clock, I believe. So I'm going to start with the scripture for today, guys. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we just come before you this morning, and we lift up our brothers and sisters that can't be here this morning. And we pray for the health of our whole families, everywhere they are. We pray for their salvation. We pray for their peace. We pray for the joy of the Lord to fill their lives, in Jesus' name. And I'd like to start today with the scriptures, Psalm 103. I'm just going to read a few verses. My soul praises Yahweh and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. My soul praise the Lord and do not forget his benefits. He forgives all your sin. He heals all your diseases, and he redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with goodness, and your youth is renewed like the eagle. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Just a second. They're hearing the kids out in the main room, so I'm just going to go. Hopefully this works.
Thank you.
voices cry out to you, and that we listen and are prepared for your word as it's brought forth today, and that you just help us to be focused and put aside the cares of the world as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. As Ken comes up, I'll do announcements real fast. Third Saturday,
November 21st. Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, we'll be in our men's breakfast, men's fellowship, rifle tournament. So if you have 22 or any other caliber rifle you'd like to enter the contest with, it's going to be fun. We're going to do it about 100 yards, and there are prizes involved. More importantly, though, it's time for us men to gather, and I think we need to gather this time. We need to be praying for our country, and we need to be found together as one. Spirit and to encourage and uplift each other. So, November 21st, again, it's in 2 weeks.
Yes. And then we also have, if there's enough children that are interested, you guys all have children here today, how can you? Mrs. Deal, if you guys know her, Michelle Deal, she did the horses for VBS, but she wants to do a bell choir for the Sunday before Christmas, and she has all the stuff, but she needs 10 children. And I only have 2 that are old enough to hold bells. So, if anyone else's children are interested, she's not here this week because they're out of town. She's back next week, so she could be here next week. And then the following week, they're back out of town for Thanksgiving, I think. So, not 100% sure of her schedule, but I know they're here next Sunday. So, if anyone's interested and wants more info, Michelle Deal's the person to talk to. So, and then, is there any other announcements, Ken? Wednesday night Zoom Bible study, link is on the website. Tuesday night youth group here, 7 p.m. As long as Mike is not still quarantined because he had a positive test at his work. He works at the nursery, so one of his co-workers or employees or somebody got coronavirus, and so he has to find out if they had overlapping schedules before he's allowed to unquarantine. So we're waiting to hear. So hopefully it'll be here. But yeah. Excellent. Thanks, guys.
So I know if you guys can all hear me without a microphone. The question I have is if the online people can hear me without a microphone.
I will look and tell you right
so
now.
So we're going to find out, because they can chat and send a message if they can actually hear me or not. Otherwise, I will put on a microphone and we'll go from there. But, so today is going to be a little bit different of a study than I normally give. It's actually, last month it was kind of the same thing. It was a little bit different than normal. And I'm excited. There's a message. I'm gonna share with you guys the message today. And then I really want to take some time really to just, you know, sit down. I'm going to grab that stool. I'm going to come sit where you guys can see me. And more kind of dialogue, or open it to dialogue, as we talk about kind of the application side of what we're teaching today. So hang in there. I do have a reputation of going long. I will try not to go too long today.
You're passing out stones.
Yeah, that's right. we'll need them. How about, do you got any comments? Can they hear me?
Yes.
Crystal says as long as we keep the door shut, she can hear you.
Okay, and I won't worry about a microphone. So the sermon title today is called Freedom to Love. If you guys don't know me, my name is Ken. I'm one of the elders here at Mountain Meadow, and I get the opportunity, Randy blesses me with the opportunity to preach to you guys every so often, and I enjoy it, and I love it, because I get to share the Word of God, and that is really what my passion is sharing the Word of God. Most of the time, it's sitting up there playing guitar too, but COVID, my world is crazy in my household right now, so hence the mask and everything else. But more of that in a little bit. So, the title of the day, Freedom to Love. Freedom to Love. And if you want, you know, again, nothing that I have a reputation for is we'll be in our Bibles quite a bit. So, I didn't put it up on the screen. Normally, when I'm out there, I link up my phone to the screen and I'm scrolling the Bible along so you guys can follow along. But I'm up here and I haven't taught anybody else how to do that. So, you're going to have to open up the good old paper and see what God's going to say there through His Word. We're going to start today in Romans 8. So Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. Fantastic verse. It's a verse that gets me excited. As Letha mentioned, on Wednesdays we'll be going through Revelation over Zoom. Gosh, when did we start that? I think we started it in April, something like that. And we have met every single Wednesday, minus two of them, and we just finished chapter 5 last week. So we are cruising through. I think in maybe 4 years we might finish Revelation. 3.5 if we really go hard on it. But one of the really cool things is, and we drew this our last two times that we gathered together for Revelation, is, you know, from the doctrinal perspective that we're teaching it, we're looking in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, and we're looking ahead. We're seeing, John is seeing in Revelation 4 and 5, the future in heaven, with the church surrounding the throne and everyone falling down, worthy, worthy, casting their crowns, and it's an amazing, incredible scene. And we can say that as we teach it, amazing, incredible, but then you've got to stop and think, do you not realize, as much as you're saying amazing, incredible, you're reading about yourself. You are going to do that. You're going to experience that. That is what is waiting for us. We are going to be there. Surrounding the throne, bowing down, saying, holy, 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 all of creation. It said, you know, multitudes, innumerable number. All of them, amen, amen. And that's our eternity. It is so exciting. And when you start looking at it through the perspective, it's not just something we're learning about. This is your future. This is what's going to happen for you. And it gets exciting. Same thing, same connotation. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, and I have a habit, when you get a therefore, you know, something they teach you in Bible school, what's the therefore? You know, that's the phrase. You see a therefore, what's the therefore? And you got to go backwards. Well, Romans 1 through 7, if you really want to just, you know, beat yourself up really badly, you think I beat you up when I preach? Read Romans 1 through 7. By the end of chapter 7, you're just in the corner crying, going, I'm going to hell. This is it. And then you get to chapter 8. And you go, but wait. Because I believe chapter 7, I only have my iPad right now. I'm going to return with it to you guys.
Use my super giant press.
Are you trying to say something? Am I squinting or am I old? Which one?
Old.
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 Yeah, it's exactly as I thought in my mind. Verse 24, chapter 7. Go back a couple verses. Wretched man that I am. Wretched man. It is so important that we all, as members of the body of Christ, get to this point where we can go, wretched man that I am. Because if we're not there, then we're the people that Jesus says, oh, I'm here for the sick. You're obviously healthy. You don't need a doctor. No, you've got to realize you're sick. You've got to realize you're a wretch. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? That's the culmination of chapters 1 through 6. 1 through 7. Who will set me free? I'm doomed. Verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus. Through Jesus, we've been set free. And now we come to verse 1 in chapter 8. Therefore, because of Jesus, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Freedom. Do you not realize? You're free. There's a song we sing. I am free. I am free to run. I am free to dance. I am free to live for you. I am free. You are free in Jesus. But so often, we go through life. Life starts burning us. Life starts getting us down. We put the shackles back on. And we do like Israel did and said, oh, it was better back in Egypt. No, come on, church. We're free. We have glorious freedom. Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm. And do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:13, for you are called to freedom, brethren. And John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. All that to say, we are free. What does that mean? The Bible expounds it in so many places. We're going to go to those in a little bit. But it means, and for the Jew back then, it meant, you mean I'm free to eat food sacrificed to idols? Yes, you are. You mean I'm free to drink alcohol? Yes, you are. You mean I'm free to live a life without fear of condemnation under the law? Yes, you are. You are free. But you're free with a responsibility. You're free to be a slave also. Get that? You're free to be a slave. There's a term, a doulos, in the Bible. It's a slave. It's a bond servant. It's describing this slave that has a dowel pierced through his ear that says, I know that I'm free because in Jewish times, in ancient times, the slave would serve. And every 7 years was the year of Jubilee. And by the law of God, all the slaves would be set free in the seventh year. But you could choose as a slave. You serve that master. That master's treating you like a son. You could go to that master and go, I know I'm being set free. I don't want to be set free. I want to be your slave forever. And they would go, they'd take that slave down, they'd mark him, like, much like marking cattle, right? And then it would be a slave forever to that master. And it wasn't a slave of obligation. It was a slavery of desire. They chose to be enslaved. They were free to make that choice. In the same way, we're free to live for Jesus. So while everything is clean, not everything is good, Paul says. Not everything is profitable, even though you have this glorious freedom. What is our response then to that freedom? We've been in bondage for so long, and we go, oh, finally, blessed freedom. What do we do now? It's simple. We love. We have freedom now to love. Before, we did not have the freedom to love. And I'll explain that in a little bit. But the response to freedom is love. Let me ask you this. What is the greatest commandment?
Love the Lord
your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. What is the second greatest commandment? To love your neighbor as yourself. Good job, guys. You just quoted Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Awesome work. See, you have scripture in your hearts. That's what we're supposed to be doing, right? So, we've been given this command. The law of the prophets says all been summed up in those two commandments. Love God, love others.
Hallelujah.
Love God, love others. And now, we have the freedom to do it. We can actually do the law that we were commanded to do in the first place that we could not do before Jesus. You quit. The Bible's clear. Everybody under the law dies by the law. You don't live by the law. You die by the law. But in Jesus, you live because you fulfill the law through Christ. What is love then? Well, we can go. I think just recently someone taught on that and went back to 1 Corinthians 13 and was looking at it. Famous love chapter. If you ever want to know the definition of love, go back to 1 Corinthians 13. If you're here in February, any church pretty much in February, you're going to hear 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. It just is the natural go-to, you know. But I want to take a minute and I want to read this. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. And is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It does not take into account the wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Amen. Love, I'm weird about words, and maybe I think other people ought to be weird about words too. That's me saying it. And you've heard me say before, my standard for my kids is that I do not appreciate, I do not permit, I do not allow my kids to throw around words cheap like they're just throwing bird seed out there. You know, it's very common practice in our culture. Boyfriends and girlfriends, oh, I love you, I love you. Now get out. Huh? Thought we were together. Thought we were a thing. Nope. Out. Next. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you too. Out. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you too. Out. Who knows how many love yous have gone out there until you get to the one you go, will you marry me? Yeah. Okay, great. I love you. Out. That's the culture we live in. Love has become such a cheap thing that we just throw around there and people don't understand what love really is. And really when it comes down to it, love never fails. So if you're out there saying, I love you, every boy or girl out there, you're just lying to them unless you, right when you make that commitment, you're saying, I love you and I'm going to love you forever. Because otherwise you just proved a liar. Because love never fails. You might have liked them a lot. But love? Love is huge. Now, and then look at how you live your life. Are you loving patient? Are you loving in kindness? Are you bearing all things? Are you taking offense to things? Are you hoping? Are you not self-seeking? That's a big one. Guys love to self-seek. Yeah. What are we doing? Are we loving one another? Spouses, are we loving our wives? Are we loving our husbands out there? Or are we just going along with the drumbeat of what our culture says love is? And this is the point. Do you not realize who love is? Who is love? What is the very epitome of love?
Jesus
Christ is love.
Hallelujah.
In a math equation, the word is an equal sign. He is love. Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That means you'll obey me if you love me. Love is huge. So if love is Jesus, if love is obedience, do you not realize it's impossible to love without him? Impossible. You have a lot of people walking around this world unsaved, using the term love. You have Hollywood using these love stories, love movies, romances. Do you not realize that that's world love, worldly love? And it has nothing to do with godly love, heavenly love, Christ-like love, the real root meaning of what love is. And that's why love fails everywhere except in Christ, except in Jesus. Without a knowledge of Jesus, it is impossible to love. Unsaved marriages, you have a semblance of what you think love is, but you do not know love because you don't know who love is. That is Jesus. I tell my kids this all the time, all the time. You know, Daniel said, well, Haley and Gabe, they're an unofficial thing for another 2 weeks, and that'll be an official thing probably. You know, I'm not 16. But, you know, it's they wouldn't understand, and they will have no hope of understanding what love is unless they are both deeply rooted and built their whole relationship on a foundation of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
So all my kids know, I don't really care, for my daughters, I don't really care if the guy's rich or poor. But I do care that he loves Jesus, and I don't care about cheap words either. I'm going to be looking at his fruit. I'm even looking that he actually bears fruit and that he actually loves Jesus Christ. How can I tell? Well, is he encouraging my daughter to grow in Jesus? When I look at their relationship, is it all about Jesus? Or is it all about just sensuality that's all filled and penetrated the whole world that we live in today? And I say that because if they don't have a root and a foundation in Jesus, they're not going to make it. They will fail. They've got to know Jesus and love Jesus with all their heart. So then, scripturally, who do we love now? We said we love the Lord our God with all our heart, right? That's number one. Love God. Number two, we love our neighbor. Love others. The Bible even starts to narrow it more specifically. It says love your neighbors, but then the apostle says love the brethren. Love the brethren. Who are the brethren? That's us, right? That's the church. That's the body of Christ. We love the body, the brothers, and we love the world. 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Move down to verse 23, 1 John chapter 3. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You see the evidence in Scripture here? Love one another, because you've received the love of Jesus. That is the response, that is the command in obedience to love one another. 1 John 4:20, if someone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God ought to love his brother also. And finally, 1 Peter 4, verses 8 and 9. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. So, biblically speaking, that's the standard, right? That's all that matters. I don't really care what the world has to say. I don't care what science books say, history books, counselors, you name it. I don't care. This is truth. This is the only truth. Everything else will fall short. This never, ever will. So you want answers to your life? You want to know why your life's stinky? Look in the Word. You want the answers to a blessed life? Look in the Word. You're doing everything right and your life don't seem that blessed here on earth? It's okay. The answer's here in the Word also. Look in the Word. So, we're free. Glorious freedom. Free to love. We're commanded to love. We're commanded to love the brethren. Let's look at the scriptures on that. What does it mean to love the brethren? First, there's the brother that's in need, right? 1 John 3:17. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Layman's terms. Words are cheap. You're there dining on your steak dinner, all the fixings, all the sides, and you see your brother going by, homeless, poor, whatever it might be, and you're like, I'll pray for you. Love you. What does that say? We gotta put actions into what we claim to say. I don't think anybody in our church says, I don't love my fellow churchgoers. We might have people in our church that go, I have a hard time loving other people, though, outside of our church that hate me, that despise me, that attack me. In fact, we may have that inside the church, too. You never know. We have struggles. We're humans. But yet Christ commands us not to just be cheap in words, but to put actions to our words and love with action and truth. What about the brothers in conscience? Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. You have the brother out there. We just talked about It's okay to eat meat. It's okay to drink alcohol. It's okay to dance. It's okay to do these things. It's okay to go hunting. Yet I know people, I have friends, I have believing friends that go, I have a problem with that. I don't think it's right for Christians to partake in alcoholic beverages. I have friends like that, and I don't share that belief. I'm free. I see a commandment in the Bible that says, do not get drunk on wine. But I don't see a prohibition of it in the Bible. And yet, there are brothers out there that have an issue with it. And guess what? I lay down my freedom, because I'm free to do that as well. I'm free to lay down my freedom and not partake of what I'm free to partake in for their benefit, to bless them. There's more to this in this teaching in Galatians. And what was going on is you have temple worship, you have food being sacrificed to idols. And guess what? That food was a lot cheaper to purchase. So you have people, Christians, that now were set free. They were going like, yeah, man, get the cheap meat. It's a false God. It's fake. It's not true. The meat is fine. God is purified. God has cleansed it. And then there's these people that are going, wait a minute. I struggled with that my whole life. That's not good. And Paul's words were, you know what, for their sake, I'll never eat meat again if it builds them up. I'll never eat it again. I'll lay down that freedom for their sake. I love my brothers in conscience. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 and 23. We love our brothers and lay down those freedoms that we might have in order to further the gospel message, the good news. 1 Corinthians 9, 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all men, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those that are under the law. To those who are without law, as a man without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. Paul's passion. I just want to save some people. I want to save them all. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll lay down everything, every freedom that I have, if it might save you from hell. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. All things. This is the part that brings us to the discussion, the application. And it's fitting today, and it's fitting in our generation, and it's not restricted to today in the current world events that are going on. This goes much further than that. COVID-19 is a real thing in our church, in our world. Is it real? Depends. Do you watch CNN or do you watch Fox? You know? Is it a hoax? Is it even a pandemic or is it just being exaggerated by the media? Whatever you might want to say, it is. I had a great spirited conversation with my older daughter. She feels the effects of the corona stuff and the limitations that it's placed on our family. And she hears grandma going, it ain't real! As soon as Biden's in, it's coming away! you get it from everywhere. Everyone, we have people on all sides of the spectrum when it comes to COVID-19 out there right now. And these people, they have deep-seated sin convictions on both sides of the conversation. Just like anything else in the world, whether it be those other freedoms I talked to, like alcohol or dancing or whatever it might be. People have deep-seated convictions. There's been a danger worldwide in the church that COVID-19 is tearing the church apart because of these deep-seated convictions that people have. It's tearing churches apart. And when I read scripture, I go, this is not God's will for the church. Jesus prayed for the unity of the church. He prayed for it. He prayed for you. He prayed for me. What are we doing? You know, we can say what we want to say. Have more faith. Fear not. We can do that. But the bottom line is there's people out there that are going to be afraid. There's people out there that are not going to have the faith. What do we do? John MacArthur, he made the news, right? I love that guy. I love his teachings. I can't believe what he did, though, and I disagree so wholeheartedly with his actions. But that's me. And there's people on opposite ends of the spectrum that will give him a full support and a standing ovation, as well as people that will condemn what his actions have been, right or wrong. Did we follow CDC advice? Do we put on masks? You can see my little mask here. What do we do? And the thing is, does it really truly matter? Does it truly matter? And I'm talking about our church. I'm talking about each one of you in your personal lives, everyone that's tuned in. Does it really matter when it comes to our response based on the biblical teaching of freedom and love? Because really what it comes down to is, how do I love God? How do I love my neighbor? These are the commands that God has given me. Yes. Do we have freedom to ignore the pandemic? Yes, we do. I can rip off this mask, go swimming, and go do whatever. I'm free. And I can have all faith to move mountains. I can have all faith to say this is never going to strike Mountain Meadow Christian Center. Never going to strike me or my family, because I believe and I have all faith that I'm scot-free. God's going to take care of me. Because he makes these promises. And he is sovereign, and he has the power to spare us. Praise Jesus. We serve a sovereign, almighty God, even over COVID-19. So I have confidence. I'm not afraid of COVID. Because I trust in Jesus Christ. I trust in Jesus Christ that he has the power to spare me from COVID. But I also realize he is sovereign and he has that same power to bring COVID down upon my home and my house. And I don't pull punches to think that it could not happen. We had a friend when we were going through the adoption of my son, Hunter. And it was a mess. It was the worst year of my life. I thought we were losing him. We were losing him. Social workers said 99.9% chance he's going back to the biologicals, going back to a real drug, gang infested hole in the wall. They hated him. They wanted him for a welfare check. And he's a little baby. We got him at 2 months old. And I was crumbling. And then I took courage and I fought. God kept taking us to the point of complete and utter. Everything isn't working, we're failing. So many stories I could share about how God intervened. How miracles happened. Literal miracles. I literally saw, Melissa will testify to the same, the opposing attorney, in hearing, stand up and do a whole thing supporting us to the judge. And he's sitting in the hallway and goes, I don't know what just happened. I came here today not to do any of that, but it's like something took me over. I'm like, yes, God took over. God took control. And 99.7% chance we're losing him, guess what? He's my son. No one can ever take him away from me. He's mine through the power of Jesus Christ. We have freedom. So what about that freedom to live and its impact that it has on our brother or our sister that, say, is afraid or is lacking faith? We have people in our church. My family is a big part of that, and I'm not going to deny that and act like this isn't personal in some ways. Because we are taking COVID very seriously at my home, and we have been in the crowd here at the church that has stepped away quite often. So, but I'm not alone in this either. If you look over the course of this COVID virus, you see burn barrels out there, you see a TV, you see camera. We've been trying to do things at Mountain Meadow to make everybody comfortable, which is done in love. And that's credit to you folks. It really is. You've sacrificed, you've loved, you've spent the summer outside. Why? Because of COVID? Not that you have to. Because of showing love to the brethren. We have that whole area out of love to the brethren. But you see, we're coming into winter. And we're going to talk as elders. We've got to figure some things out of how we're going to keep doing this. Because there are real dangers of having everybody out there getting pneumonia when the snow starts falling. And we got to figure out, well, how do we keep on loving them? How do we keep on reaching out to them? How do we keep on saying, you matter. We want you here. We've all experienced the complications. Anyone that's tuned into any of the Zoom studies of, what'd you say? Oh, we lost the video. You know, it's horrible sometimes. Yeah. You know, I think the last few times on Facebook, I tried to watch Mike's sermon on Jude. I was so excited. I was so upset I couldn't be here. And here's what I saw. I'll take this off for a second. Hitting my volume. We didn't get the sound. So the whole sermon, there was no sound. And I'm like, no. That's technology complications. It happens. Praise God that we have this option. And we're able to do this. And we're able to reach people as best as we can through it. How do we love? And we can dig in. We really can dig in here. We can say, as a church, you know what? We're going to come here, and we're going to do church the way we've always done church. And if those people can't come, they can't come. They can tune in online. That is an option we have. And it's a blind option. We've made that available to them. But is there a better way? Are there other options? And what I'm getting at is there's some simple things I think we can do. And this goes further. And I'm not going to say these things to guilt people. You're never going to see a sign on the door here with enforcement rules to come into the church for COVID. Because guess what? If you're doing things out of obligation of that nature, you're not loving already. Don't even bother. But there are basic things that we as a body could do. But we have a freedom not to do them also. You see me with a mask on. There are signs at my work that say, this mask, I wear my mask to protect you. You wear your mask to protect me. That's how masks work. You wearing it protects me. Me wearing it protects you. Can we all put on masks? Yes, we can. Can we choose not to? Yes, we can. If I'm a mask guy and you're not a mask person, is it right for me to point a finger at you? No, that would be wrong to me also. This is a zero judgment thing that I'm saying. This is something introspective. There's real reasons why people wouldn't be able to wear masks either. What I'm getting at is think introspectively. Look and examine yourself. And the only question I want everybody to ask themselves on a continual basis is, am I loving my neighbor? Am I loving my neighbor? Can I? Should I? Can I? Should I? That's really all that it is. Am I loving them? And so I say, consider it, in light of the Word, in light of what we just studied, and how to love, what can we do, what will we do, Will we examine ourselves or will we not? Will we commit to build one another up? Will we commit, will we say to the folks that I know at least three people that are not, besides my family, that are not here today simply because they knew it was cold and they wouldn't be able to be outside. Is there anything we could do as a church to reach out to them? To make them feel safer to come inside and fellowship with us? Or another enclosed room even, where they can space? What can we do as a church? What can we do? What can each one of us do? That's all I'm saying for us to consider here. We cannot, we absolutely cannot allow this to divide our church. We cannot allow it to split us, to bring disunity to our church body. We've got to stay unified, and we've got to love one another and do everything that it takes. This is the time, COVID right now, where we should be shining as a church. Loving others, loving one another. Yet just like 2016 or whatever, whenever Trump came into office and we had a full Republican Senate, House, and President, but there was so much infighting that nothing got accomplished. So we got to where we are today where nothing can get accomplished. We need to be unified together. I have a story I want to share with you that I found online. And it's a pastor that's talking about similar to this. Says, it seems so wrong to give up what we have for someone else who could have the same thing, if not for their own disobedience or lack of faith. Who in the world would do that other than Jesus? It is just like Jesus and what Jesus did for us. It is the same sort of sacrifice and same kind of love that caused Jesus to give up all that he was entitled to by divine right to die on the cross for us. It is acting just like Jesus in everyday life. Willingly giving up what we're entitled to for others. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So whether we talk about food or alcohol or clothing or TV shows or any other rights that we have as Christians in the world today, are we willing to be like Paul and say never again watch an R-rated movie, lest we cause our brother to sin? Well, would we do that? To never again drink alcohol, or never again eat halal meat, lest we cause a brother to sin? To never again go somewhere without our masks, if you tie it to COVID? If we're not, then why are we not? What is our reason not? See, Paul and Jesus did it. No one takes our lives from us that we have rights is very certain. But do we lay our lives down freely? You know, like Jesus did for us. John 10, going back to the Word of God, I'm going to end with these two scriptures. John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired man and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired man and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold, I must bring them also. And they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down in my own initiative, and I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Likewise, you have freedom. Glorious, blessed freedom. And we also know we love one another. We love God, we love one another, and we love the brother. How are we loving? Romans 14. So that each of us, starting in verse 12, so that each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food, your brother is hurt, if because of COVID, your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men, so that we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food, or anything else for that matter. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Church, this is the word of God. This isn't me. You can disagree with me, and I say, I'll take it up with God. This is something that's been on my heart, and I was kind of scared to bring it here today. But I feel God putting it on my heart, and those that are around me and that know me on a day-to-day basis know that once something's on my heart and mind, it's going to come out in my preaching also. It's just how God speaks to me. And I don't say this to point fingers or to condemn the church. I know I have a reputation by some people of believing that that's what I'm out to do at times. And I'm not. I love you all. I love you so dearly as brothers and sisters of Christ. We don't have to agree on everything. It's okay. If I come to church next week and everything is just the same and no one's wearing masks and we're singing praise the Lord, then guess what? I love you all still. If you see me outside, that's because of my own personal conviction. And that's for me. It's not for me to push off on any of you. Each of us have to speak to God and consider the two commands that God's giving us. Am I loving God? And am I loving my neighbor? If we, in good conscience, say, yes, I am, then amen, hallelujah. And I am happy, and I love each of you. The point of today's sermon is purely this. Are you loving your neighbor? If asked the question, why did I or why didn't I, what is your answer? In anything, whether it be COVID, whether it be drinking, whether it be eating meat, whether it be dancing, whether it be watching movies, whatever you like to do, what matters more, serving God or this world and everything this world has to give us? Let us pray. God, you are an amazing God. An amazing, amazing God. And Lord, so often I look at your word and it applies to everyday events, everything around us, constantly. And I can't deny it, God, but all I can do is declare your word in the truth. And then leave it in your hands. God, I pray, Lord, that each person here, God, would truly go and look introspectively at their lives, to spend time on their knees with you, asking, how can I love? And then just do it. Whatever that means. Lord, we want to be a church that's unified. We don't have to be a church that agrees in all things, but we want to be unified. And we want to follow you with all our hearts. Love. Thank you for the glorious freedom you've given us. Freedom to live, freedom to love, freedom to die. You are amazing. You are the Ancient of Days. Thank you, Jesus. In your most holy and precious name, all God's needs.
Shine upon you and give you grace and peace. In Jesus' name.